Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast. I'm Andy Eubank on the 18th of July, 2024. Good morning and welcome. The HAT podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more and stop by your local branch. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller are here with the news, including a visit to Capitol Hill by Indiana corn and soybean farmers. And Eric Pfeiffer is with them this week. Also a preview of what will be new at Pioneer Village at this year's Indiana State Fair. Eric and CJ Miller on the news. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with the weather, cool and dry in the coming days. And yesterday, corn and beans led higher by the wheat market. Tom Fritz has market analysis on the HAT Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal opportunity lender.
Hey, this is Brian Schrader,
Carl Jorn,
and Ben Jacob.
And we're the hosts of the Indiana Pioneer Agronomy Podcast. Each episode, we cover up-to-date field and crop conditions for growers throughout the state of Indiana. Talk to guests about the latest pests, diseases, agronomic technologies, and much more. You can find new episodes weekly on your preferred podcast platform.
Corn growers share their stories on Capitol Hill and what's new at the Pioneer Village at the upcoming Indiana State Fair. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Nearly 300 corn growers visited Capitol Hill on Wednesday to share with congressional staffers the urgency behind getting a new farm bill done. Eric Pfeiffer reports from Washington, D.C.
Time is running out for the Farm Bill to get across the finish line in 2024.
We're down to about 50 legislative days between now and the elections. And so in one sense, you know, that's not much time. I think that's the reality.
That's Neil Kasky, CEO of the National Corn Growers Association.
But I would say that if we could help Congress develop the political will to get a farm bill done, there's plenty of time to do that.
House Ag Republicans have already pushed their version forward. It still awaits a vote from the full House. Democrats have yet to move forward in the Senate. When asked what the biggest obstacle is to progress the farm bill, Kasky says,
simple politics. I say simple. I mean, there's nothing simple about just the political world that we're in. But I mean, I think that's, you know, just trying to get people to come together. And we're grateful for all the leadership and the commitment that we're seeing from Capitol Hill. It's just we really need them to come together on a bipartisan bill and deliver for rural America. I know, obviously, Senator Stabenow is sitting in a key spot, and we're grateful for people like her that we know that she wants to get a bill done, and we are ready to throw our collective shoulders behind whatever effort she needs us to do to get something moving on the Senate side. And so we hope that will happen soon.
Obviously, the sooner the better, because as Kasky says, tomorrow there will only be around 49 legislative days left before the elections, and a bipartisan farm bill is what's needed. Reporting from Washington, D.C., I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
Well, the Indiana State Fair kicks off on Friday, August 2nd, and you may be looking forward to the food, the 4-H exhibits, and the livestock, but one very important piece of the State Fair is the Pioneer Village on the northeast side of the fairgrounds.
We feel our job is to educate our community, and it's really a hands-on experience. They can visibly see how agriculture has evolved over the years.
And that's Gary Emsweller, superintendent of the Pioneer Village. He says the goal is to make you feel like you've stepped out of a time machine and into the early 1900s.
It's very easy to see somebody that's working in Pioneer Village all over the fairgrounds because they're in bib overalls or a long dress and an apron around their neck. So, yeah, we kind of stand out. And again, our goal is to play the role of the way it used to be.
In addition to the antique tractors and equipment on display, you'll also see volunteers hard at work at the Pioneer Village.
We have a glass blower. We have a person making soap. a variety of things that not only can you buy, but you actually get to see them making those kinds of things. And again, they come, volunteer their time, maybe make a little bit of money, but they enjoy talking to their customers more so than really trying to sell.
Gary says he and his volunteers are also in the process of building a brand new antique style barber shop.
We've had a barber shop for several years. The young lady comes in, if you want your hair cut, she'll cut your hair. That has been such a big attraction. We're literally building a building outside so she has more space and more visibility to the public. So we're finishing that building up right now. So that'll be new to our Commerce Park out on the east side of the big building.
Gary adds that one of the highlights of the Pioneer Village is the daily Threshers Dinner.
It is really a spectacle. We feed about 150 of our volunteers every day here, but our first table, you have 15, 20 gentlemen sitting around in bib overalls eating a huge meal with hundreds of people watching us, taking pictures of us. So it's really kind of a unique situation on both sides, not only for the volunteers, but also for the public.
You can hear more of my conversation with Gary Emsweller and read more about the Pioneer Village at the upcoming Indiana State Fair. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
Every farming operation has a story with a past, present, and future. Farm Credit Mid-America wants to get to know your farm story because we're a lending cooperative owned by farmers. And that's why we offer a range of loans and services designed to help farmers grow and prosper, because we know why no one knows a farmer like a farmer does. Learn more about Farm Credit Mid-America and some of our farmer stories at fcma.com. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We're looking at a dry, cool setup here over the next few days. Honestly, this is quite the change from what we saw earlier in the week. Humidity values, the number one thing I think you'll realize today. We are in a much drier air mass, much more comfortable. Yes, temperatures are cool, cooler than normal, but we still see good sunshine through the day today. This same setup is in here tomorrow, and over the weekend, humidity values stay on the lower side of things, even while temperatures sneak up ever so slightly. No complaints for the next 4 days, that's for sure, and we'll see great evaporation after some of the rains that came through the past 2-3 days or more. Now you get into next week, we see temperatures climb, but not just temperatures, humidity values as well. Quite uncomfortable, and I think the heat and humidity together make for some instability. I won't rule out pop-up shower and thunderstorm action from late Monday afternoon, Monday night, right on through Tuesday and next Wednesday. Each day, probably less than 40% coverage. It's not a big amount of precipitation, but combined, we probably end up with 60 or 70% coverage. A few hundredths to half an inch, 3/4 of an inch in spots. That really comes down to who gets thunderstorms. I'm not sure how big a thunderstorm footprint we see right now. I do see us drying down the later part of next week, Thursday, Friday, and even into Saturday with regard to new moisture. However, humidity values stay elevated. So in my mind, we're still going to have some instability that we have to work through, even if there's not a good moisture source for precipitation to develop over a large area. That's the way things are stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Farmers and agriculture dealers, now is the time to inspect your combines for holes and wear in your threshing, feeder, and grain tank sections. Instead of costly replacements, try combine wear parts from Eiley Fabrications, made with the best steels such as Hardox or Strengths wear plate. Eiley's steel wear part liners are easy to install and built to OEM specs to ensure a snug and seamless fit at a cost less than OEM replacement parts. Visit IHLE Fabrications. And elevate your harvest this season. Corn, nearby beans, and the wheat market all higher on Wednesday. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Wednesday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubanks. Settlements coming up. We begin, though, with market analysis to find out why the markets did gain a little ground. I grabbed that at the end of trade from Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. Tom, a little bit of a bounce as we finally see a recovery in Chicago wheat, and corn followed a few cents to the high side. Soybeans back and forth all day long. A technical bounce in wheat, likely?
Andy, I noticed it yesterday. We've seen an influx of international, call it, interest for wheat, if not actual buying. I know the Asians have been buying wheat. When I say the Asians, I'm talking the, you know, that entire area of the globe. Egypt was good for 770,000 tons. That's a pretty big number for them. Algeria today, right now, the latest estimate is 600,000 tons. That was going to be, they announced that they would be tendering the other day. I'm also seeing, some other smaller business. What is it? South Korea actually bought 40,000 tons of U.S. milling wheat. So the low prices in wheat have started to attract some attention. And a lot of this was out yesterday. And yesterday, the wheat market just absolutely dogged it. Well, today, it's like, oh, that's their town. Oh, you know, renewed interest in the, you know, global wheat prices because they've gone so low. But I also think what is helping today is the dollar over the last couple of days prior to today had been in a minor consolidation mode on the current down move. And now today, the dollar's down noticeably. So I think the combinations of those two help out the wheat market. That spills over to the corn market a little bit. And, you know, after the June 28th reports, and then we saw the supply-demand report on, last Friday, it's kind of like, well, how bearish are we going to get this corn market in the near term? We know that the amount of spec shorts that are in the market are at new all-time levels, meaning the amount of spec shorts that are in the market. So, you know, it's almost like, okay, we've gone far enough as we can go on the downside until we get a bounce. I've always been with the frame of mind that one of the proponents of lower markets is liquidation. There's no more spec longs in the futures market to liquidate, as far as I'm concerned. The only longs in the futures market are the commercial, and he's not getting out until he buys some cash corn. And, that's his hedge. He hasn't bought the corn that he needs. And so where is that corn? Well, Mr. Producer, what are you doing? He's the one who's sitting on all the cash corn. And, we think the eventuality of that is it's going to move. And, I think that will, when that starts to move, that'll weigh on the market a little bit. But until that happens, the function of the market is to, I think, from a technical standpoint, just go into a consolidation mode. And as I mentioned, the wheat market, okay, it too had its own degree of oversold. So with the influx of new global business around the world, wheat market's given us a little bit of a bounce. Yeah, it has room to bounce. Is it going anywhere of any magnitude? I don't think so. U.S. wheat supply is more than ample. Our business is just so-so at best. Overseas, right now, their supplies are, ample. And I think people are just starting to look at, wow, overseas prices. This is the lowest it's been in 4 months. In some cases here, Kansas City wheat, I want to say it's the lowest it's been in almost 4 years. Chicago wheat, it's been the lowest it's been since, back in March. So bottom line, the low wheat prices are attracting some attention. Soybeans. Old crop, new crop, it's a tale of, tale of two different cities. Old crop, basis levels are fairly decent. The producer's just not selling any beans. And, a lot of folks are going to say, well, he doesn't have any beans. Well, the commitment of stocks report says, yes, he does have beans. And basis levels are strong in some areas of the country, as crushers would like to have some beans. And so you're looking at August beans, nearly 7 cents. November beans are off 2.25. So, the story with new crop beans is we're going to have a healthy carry-in. Right now, everything points to a decent crop size. We still have to get through the month of August, but in the meantime, weather's not threatening. And so you look at the product markets. Well, here we have the meal market's a little bit stronger today. Soybean oil is lower today. So I think the bean market gets caught in between, what goes on in the two markets. But, I'd like to think, we've gone low enough for the time being, but unfortunately that doesn't make a market bullish. I'm not sure what's out there that's going to stimulate a rally. Other than, the weather's going to have to turn dramatically nasty to turn this baby around. And right now, forecasts for the near term for the pollinating corn, it's probably as good as it's going to ever get. I think it's, weather's really good for the pollinating corn. But soybeans, its reproduction cycle doesn't occur till August. And there's still some guys trying to hold on to the idea it's going to get hot in August. Well, right now we can see some pretty good heat in the far northwest, but elsewhere in the Midwest, temperatures are okay, moisture levels are okay. A lot of folks are saying, well, we've yet to sort out the impacts of the flooding in northwest Iowa, southeast South Dakota. Parts of southern Minnesota, any effects from the last major storm that went through eastern Iowa, northern Illinois, we haven't figured that one out yet. So, but the bottom line is the attitude is crop conditions are pretty darn good. So, upside, I think, is rather limited at this point in time. Unless we get a dramatic turn in weather.
Tom Fritz, Market Analysis. Tom is with EFG Group in Chicago. Settlements now from Wednesday trade up 2.25 on September corn, 398 and 2 cents off today's high. Dece, 411.75, up 3. March, up 3 cents as well, 425. 1097.25 on the August beans, up 6.75. September, though, quiet, up just a half cent. Novi, down 2.25 at 1041. September wheat led to the high side, 539.25, a gain of 8.5 cents. The meat markets solid, up $1.60 on August live cattle, 184.27, and August lean hogs, 91.65, 37 cents higher. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.